Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and Father Douglas McKay is back. Hello, Father.
Hello. I'm happy to be back with you, Ken, and with all the listeners.
And pay attention today, folks, because he won't be back until April. That'll be the next fifth Wednesday that we're here. There's one in December, but we don't broadcast that week between Christmas and New Year's. So, yeah, we'll have you back again in April. But we do want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that allows us to be here every day from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time here at 800 a.m. and over their website, WTMRradio.com, or via their app, WTMR Radio. Great way to listen to us, especially as the days are getting shorter and the signal will start getting powered down a little bit earlier. Also want to thank everybody that came out on Monday for the golf outing. We had a real nice crowd on hand, some great prizes, tough golf course this year. My Lord, they put the holes in the toughest parts of the green. Congrats to the group of priests and San D'Amico and his gang for the win and second place. They had a tiebreaker, and San D'Amico and his gang won again. But it's one of the two major fundraisers we have each year, and because of your support, again, we're going to be able to stay on the air for quite a while longer, at least till the spring when we have our next one.
Ken, you said San D'Amico, they won again? They won before, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I was telling Mary B. that Sam ought to be grateful that I didn't show up with my team.
Oh, yeah.
He wouldn't have won.
Yeah. Well, I'd pay to see that, Father. So, Father McKay and I are part of Warehouse Ministries, and a ministry that works with the addicted and anybody else that comes to us. You can learn more about our website or about the Our House Ministries at our website, ourhouseministries.org. I also encourage you to subscribe to my Substack account, notsaintsyet.substack.com. I publish a couple articles each week, including one on Thursdays with the links to the recordings along with some highlights of the show. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays, starting with daily mass at 8:30 and closes around 3 o'clock. If you're going to make the trip down, get in touch with us through the Our House Ministry site. Be more than happy to meet you over in St. Gabriel's Church and show you around. We've got a couple more showings or screenings of the Matt Talbot film coming up. We just put them up on Eventbrite. On Wednesday, November the 19th, we'll be showing it at the Broad Street Theater, or the Broad Theater, rather, in Soderton, Pennsylvania, up there off of 309. That'll be Wednesday, November 19th, around 7 o'clock. And then on Monday, December the 15th, if we've got any listeners up in northern Pennsylvania, North Jersey, New York, we'll be at the Sheen Center in New York City on Monday, December the 15th. We're hoping that Cardinal Dolan will at least pop over for a couple of minutes to say a few words, but no guarantees yet. So, again, that's Wednesday, November the 19th, the Broad Theater in Soderton, December the 15th. That's a Monday at the Sheen Center in New York City. You can get your free tickets on Eventbrite. If you go to Eventbrite and do a search on Matt Talbot, they should pop right up. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, and your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of the Most Holy Rosary and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. So, Father comes back for the first time in a couple of months, and he takes over the prayer already. Pretty good, Father. Fell right back into it. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. If you're listening from a distance, you can reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls as we go to the bottom of the break. If you have a is that odd or is that God? If God's touched you in a particular way recently, you want to share it with Father and I and our listeners, by all means, be ready to call in. We'll give out those numbers again before we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. Today we're going to talk about the rosary. We're still in October. We've got two and a half days left in October, and this has been the month of the rosary. And when Father said he was going to come back on the fifth Wednesday, we got chatting last week, I think it was, and we said that that would be the focus of today's show. So just a quick rundown on the rosary. Actually, you can go back to about the 3rd century, where the hermits and monks in Egypt would use stones and then prayer ropes to keep track of the 150 psalms that they would pray each day. And then various forms of the Jesus Prayer became popular, and they would be said over and over again while counting beads. Then the Our Father was also prayed 150 times using a string of beads with 5 decades, referred to as a Paternoster, which those of us that know Latin know that that's Latin for Our Father. In the early 1100s, St. Alvary would recite 150 Hail Marys every day, and he would genuflect for 100 of them and then lay prostrate for the other 50. So fortunately, they've kind of done away with that routine. In 1214 AD was when St. Dominic, the founder of the Dominican order, had a vision of Mary, who told him about the rosary. And Dominic would then spread it everywhere he went. Then in the early 1400s, Dominic of Prussia, he was the one that developed the joyful, glorious, and sorrowful mysteries, and then also would start using the scriptural rosary, where you use a line from the gospel before each Hail Mary. In the mid to late 1400s, Alan de Roop of Brittany discovered the rosary and started to spread it across Europe. In 1571, that's when Pope Pius V, and he used the Rosary Confraternity of Rome to pray the rosary when the Ottomans were on the verge of taking over Europe. And so the Feast of Our Lady of Victory on October the 7th came about. And that's why October is the month of the rosary. It was in 1597 where we see the first recorded use of the word rosary, or the term rosary. In the early 1700s, our good friend St. Louis de Montfort encouraged people to pray the rosary, and also wrote a couple of books, including True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin, The Secret of the Rosary, and The Secret of Mary. In 1917 was when Mary would appear to the 3 shepherd children in Fatima, giving them messages, including a call to pray the rosary every single day for world peace. In 2002, Pope John Paul II instituted the Luminous Mysteries, and in 2024, Ken Johnston instituted the Prevenient Mysteries. That's the history of the rosary. Yeah, yeah. The Vatican hasn't quite caught on to the Prevenient Mysteries yet, but I'm sure that someday they'll be added as official mysteries.
Yeah. Well, you know, gosh, it was Louis de Montfort. I think that's who it was, where he wrote the book, and he predicted it won't be until 100 years that it'll be discovered. So maybe after you're gone 100 years, more than you can.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Keep my pride in check.
Right. Well, you know, I look back at my life. You know, my mom always had rosaries in the house, praying the rosary. But I think it was really like sixth grade when we start praying it as a class. And I remember Sister Mary St. Anne, that we had to wear our rosary on our side. And we would come in right after lunch. If you didn't have the rosary, you had to go back home and get it. And then we would go down the aisle. You know, you do a Hail Mary, Hail Mary. And I always remember, you know, I didn't want to mess up and wanted to count, because sometimes I thought, you know, maybe I missed a beat or something. I would count the heads. And then, do I have the glory be, the Our Father, whatever. But that always stayed with me, you know, that Holy Rosary. And then after sixth grade, when I went into the Salesians of St. John Bosco, we prayed the rosary every night after dinner. And we would walk around the grounds. And if it rained, we went in the chapel. And then at St. Charles Seminary, every Monday evening, we prayed the rosary. And as time went on, the rosary, it became more deeply embedded in my heart. You know, Holy Family Home. I thought they should have called Holy Family Home as, you know, the home of the Holy Rosary. And there it is. You know, everywhere I went at Holy Family Home, the nuns, they would have their rosaries. We prayed the rosary every day before Mass. The rosary was prayed in the night. You go into the rooms, the residents are holding their rosaries, dying with their rosaries. But I have so many stories. And even in my book, I had a particular chapter called the Crystal Rosary. And I was writing the different experiences of the residents with their rosaries. And there was one woman, she swallowed her rosary beads. I think you remember that story, mm-hmm. Ken. She swallowed her rosary beads, and Yui came over. It was Margaret Purnell. Yui came over to me and said, Margaret swallowed her rosary beads. I said, why? And you watched her? Well, Father, she was eating her spaghetti. So I didn't know she would. I said, her crystal rosary? Yes, Father. So I went over to her. I said, Margaret, did you swallow your rosary beads? And she, like a puppy dog, yes, Father. Why? Why did you do that? She said, well, I always wanted God next to my heart. So I told Sister Alice, who took her to the hospital, Fitzgerald Mercy Hospital, they took an x-ray, and sure enough, that rosary, the crucifix, was right by her heart. And the doctor had to go down like fishing, and he hooked the rosary and pulled it out. And Sister came back and said, they actually put the x-ray on the wall. And Sister said they called it Our Lady of the Radiology Department, because she was kidding about that part, but not the part about the x-ray on the wall. The doctor couldn't get over it. And then I remember a woman coming in, and it was like confession time, you know, and she's holding her rosaries, and she holds it up to me. She's getting a little bit senile. She said, Father, I don't know what it is, but I can't say my rosary anymore. But I feel like I'm holding the Blessed Mother's hand. I said, wow, you're a contemplative. She said, what? What's a contemplative? I said, that's someone praying beyond words. She said, wow, I didn't even know I was praying. I said, that's it. You know, and I always remember that story. But the other story that really hit me the most was Catherine Lawler. And we're praying the rosary. She's dying. She must have 10 children around her. And we're coming towards the end of the rosary, like the fifth decade. And we're praying it. And all of a sudden, Catherine stops breathing. And all the children go over, and they kiss her on the forehead. Thank you for being a wonderful mom. Mom, put a word in for me when you see God. and on these sediments. And we're ready to walk out, and all of a sudden, Catherine starts breathing again. And Mother Mary Vincent is there, and she says, finish the rosary. So we finish the rosary. And as soon as we bless ourselves, Catherine takes her last breath. And as I'm walking out of the room down the hallway, I realize it's August the 8th, you know, August the 8th, St. Dominic's feast day. And the message is, pray the rosary. But it was also, what hit me so much was that John Paul II's letter, the apostolic letter on the Most Holy Rosary, that word most, you don't hear that too much. You hear it with the most blessed sacrament, the most holy Trinity, the most holy Mother of God. You know, it's like it's the most vital to holiness. It's just, but the rosary gets the word most, you know, most holy rosary. And I just hear a lot of things like Carlos Acutis loved the rosary. And he said something like the rosary is the most important part of the day, most important part of the day. And I was thinking, wow, you know, I thought it'd be the Mass. Why is he saying the rosary so important? But he's saying that the rosary is the most important meeting of the day because he meets Mary, who takes us to the Mass, to the foot of the altar. So, but that was a brilliant apostolic letter by Pope John Paul II. And he gives us the mysteries of light, you know, and that filled in the gap. You know, here we have the joyful mysteries, and it stops there, you know, at the finding in the temple, and then it goes right into the agony in the garden. It was a big gap missing there. And then he gives us the mysteries of light, and how beautiful they are, Ken, the mysteries of light. And I really call them my surrender mysteries, because when you look at it, he even names the rosaries. You know, the first decade is the baptism in the Jordan. The second one is the self-manifestation of the wedding feast at Cana, And the third mystery is the proclamation of the kingdom of God with its call to conversion. So you can do so much with that, you know, with the proclamation of the kingdom of God. And then the fourth one is the transfiguration. And finally, the institution of the Eucharist as the sacramental expression of the Paschal mystery. So when you look at the rosary, it's really Christocentric. You know, everything's there. Everything's there in those mysteries. And I know about Lourdes, where St. Bernadette says that when Mary was praying the rosary with her, she wouldn't say the words. It was silence, you know, with the Hail Marys. She would pray the Glory Bes, you know, but she wouldn't pray the Hail Marys. And what hit me was, yet Mary was praying the mysteries. You know, she had this beautiful memory of the birth of her child, you know, the joyful mystery. She was there with all the mysteries. But she was contemplating all this, remembering all this, pondering all this, and it was just bringing her so closely to God. But I love to call these mysteries my surrender mysteries. And I like to even say they're my favorite mysteries because it's all there in the Paschal mystery, the fifth one. Very center is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. But when you look at the baptism in the Jordan, it's like John, he's reluctant to be baptized. He doesn't want to baptize Jesus. In the very first words of the gospel there, Matthew, allow it now. Allow it now, John. The very first words that Jesus speaks in the gospel is surrender. John, do what my will is, not what your will is. And I think about that, you know, the first words of Jesus, surrender, allow it now. And then the second one is the wedding feast at Cana. You know, we know the words, do whatever he tells you. You know, don't do what I want, do what God wants. You know, the wedding her last words to us all, do whatever he tells you. And then, of course, we come to the proclamation of the kingdom. We can go into anything really we want there. But I like to put the Annunciation there again. You know, let it be done to me as you say. And then when I come to the fourth one, the transfiguration, it's like going up in the God the Father. He makes that appearance. He pulls the veil open. You know, two times in the New Testament where God the Father makes an appearance. At the baptism, this is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased. But here at the transfiguration, he pulls by the curtain, puts his head and says, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him. You know, just surrender. And, of course, the fifth one is the institution of the Eucharist. You know, and I think about those words. Do this. Surrender. Do what I say. It's a commandment. This is my body. This is my blood. Do this. So, you know, I like to call them the surrender mysteries, Ken. I'll put it back to you. There's more to say, but I'll let you chime in.
Yeah. You mentioned when you would walk with the Salesians after dinner and pray mm-hmm. the rosary. When you said that, I was reminded when we were in Knock, Ireland, and we went to Shinnakolo, and mm-hmm. We had Mass and then lunch, and then we walked around the street there praying the rosary together. For whatever reason, that came right back to me when you mentioned that. And the other, one of the greatest impacts the rosary had on me was on that first retreat I made at Malvern back in 1993. And it's still a tradition on the Friel weekend that I go to every year, where we have a huge rosary. Use the beads you would see on a swim lane in a swim pool where they have swim meets and what have you. And to see, 65 guys out there each holding a bead and praying that rosary, it had a huge impact on me, so much so that it was after that retreat in 93 that I started praying the rosary again. And I know the impact that has had on my life, starting to pray it by myself and then teaming up with Paul Mathis and our friend Wayne Lindy, who's since passed, and we would pray the rosary every time we got together in the car. Whether we were going to meetings or mass or the Miraculous Metal Shrine, we would, it's like we get in the car, and as soon as all three of us were in the car, we'd start the rosary. And I think that's what led eventually to a number of consecrations that I've done to Jesus through Mary. And I know that the Blessed Mother has been carrying me for all these years. And I really believe it started with that first retreat and the witness of those men that prayed the rosary that Saturday night in the big field there at Malvern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. One other thing, Father, before I turn it back to mm-hmm. you, I just forgot to announce at the top of the hour, we do have a sponsor today. I want to thank Catherine Strimmel for her financial support for our program today. We'll mention it again after we go to the break. But Catherine, thank you so much. If anybody else is interested in sponsoring one of our shows, you can always call Maureen here at 610-527-2906. And let her know, and she'll let you know how you do that. Sorry, Father. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Well, thank you, Catherine. There are no other words. Thank you. But, the rosary again, with that beautiful letter, the apostolic letter John Paul II wrote, a companion of the gospel. The whole gospel is there. Like you were saying, back when it started, with the Psalms, the people didn't know how to read. They didn't know how to write. You had the pictures of the stations of the cross, so, they would pray that way. And the rosary with the mystery, they could pray even though they don't know how to read or write. But yet, when you look at the rosary, the companion of the gospel, it's really the gospel there. But when you look at the gospel, there's always a literal meaning, but underneath there's a spiritual meaning. And that spiritual meaning, like these words of the rosary, it's a verbal beginning. But then there's a meditation. Can we meditate on the mysteries? When we're still not there yet, and that we need to go a little deeper. And the rosary then goes into contemplation. So John Paul II would say, he would quote like the other popes, like Paul VI, the rosary without contemplation is like a body without a soul. Mary takes us right there, to God. And like John Paul II, like Carlo would call the rosary his favorite prayer. Well, what happened to the Mass? Well, it's the rosary is the gospel that's bringing us to the sacrifice of Christ, to Calvary, and beyond to the Father. That can only be contemplated. We just can't reason that. We can't use our intellect with that. We can only come to that mystery in our hearts, not in our minds, but in our hearts. So what he's talking about, that contemplation, and I know I didn't understand all this as my understanding of the rosary grew more and more as my priesthood grew as well. But it was like in the beginning, like I would pray the rosary, and all of a sudden, I thought I was being distracted. I'm saying, gosh, I'm on the third joyful mystery, and I forgot to announce the birth of Jesus, and I'm almost over the rosary. I better go back and start over. No, I did it right. I was contemplating, not even knowing it. Just like that woman says, I just hold the rosary, it's like holding Mary's hand, who takes my hand into his hand. And there's the contemplation. It just takes us to God. I didn't even realize that I was contemplating. But there it is, And so about my rosary, that when we pray the traditional rosary, in a group, especially when I was with the Little Sisters of the Poor, God bless the elderly, they were really hard of hearing, that some of them would be on the first part of the Hail Mary and the other ones be on the second part. It sounded like tongues, you know. But, I would get distracted. And even the little flower, she would say about the rosary in community, it was distracting to her. And she called it a penitential rosary. And it's the penance that will lead us into contemplation. There's no contemplation without penance, without sacrifice, without trials and crosses in our life. This is where we're being like Jesus. We're united with him, and then he takes us right to the heart, the bosom of the Father. So, when I pray the traditional rosary in the group, sometimes it is. People, they take charge, they go too fast or too loud, and it becomes really like distracting. But when I'm by myself, I design my own rosary where when I'm by myself, when I pray the traditional rosary, it'll be, the Creed, of course, the Our Father, the three Hail Marys for faith, hope, and charity. And then I would start, Our Father, and go into the first decade and say I'm on the Annunciation. Well, I'm not ready to leave the Annunciation. And it breaks with the Glory Be. And then I'm starting something else with my mind. I'm still in my mind. And then I said, I got to do something about that. So what I did the traditional in the beginning, but when I came to the first decade, I made it 50 straight Hail Marys, no breaks, because it starts out, say, the Annunciation, and it's verbal. The words are there, but then that brings me to meditation. I'm hearing, let it be done to me as you say. And all of a sudden, I'm lost. I'm lost in spirit. I'm with God that brought me there. And before I know it, the 50 Hail Marys are up. I could pray 300 Hail Marys, do that in one day. I'm praying over 300 Hail Marys sometimes. But I don't even know I'm praying the Hail Marys. It centers me. It takes away all my fears and worries, all my distractions of the outside world. And I start praying the rosary. I get centered, I forget the world. And I remember God. And then I'm nurtured and my heart's filled up with these graces, this strength that's not my own. Now I'm ready to go back into the world. But yes, I know we're coming to the bottom of the hour. But yet, just what Pope Paul VI said and John Paul II, the rosary without contemplation is a body without a soul. Very often, can we start the rosary, we do the words, we do the meditation. They're the means. We don't end it. We end it with God, with him, in spirit, in peace, in joy, in faith, and love, beyond words, beyond visions, beyond locutions, just with God, in communion with him, in holy communion with him, by the Most Holy Rosary.
Amen.
Amen.
And we are approaching the bottom of the hour, and we'll give out the numbers. Again, if you had an odd or God, or God's touched you in a particular way recently, give us a call. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906, or call toll-free 888-343-2484. Frank, we see you on the line. We'll get to you as soon as we come back from the break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in his love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together, in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese. We thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
If you haven't checked out the website lately, I encourage you to do so, inhissign.com. I got here to the studio a little bit early today and have all the shows uploaded as of yesterday on the website. So if you miss a show or want to re-listen to a show, perhaps pass along a link to somebody you know, you can go to the website, inhissign.com, click on content and then podcasts, and you'll find a list of all the recordings there. Also like to keep you up to date on the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics in 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father McKay and I and a bunch of others get together every Tuesday in the Gray's Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia, usually in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street, where we start at 6 o'clock with a short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then a Calyx meeting. And on the third Tuesday of the month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, and instead of having a meeting, we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 6 to 7, where we have prayers at the beginning and the end, including benediction, and then confession with a couple of priests during that hour, and then at 7 o'clock we have Mass. That Mass is offered for everybody and anybody that's got anything to do with addiction, whether you're in recovery or still active in an addiction, if you're a family member of we're a friend of somebody that's struggling with addiction. We invite you to come and join us on that third Tuesday each month. And again, in November, that'll be November 18th. The Glenside Unit at St. Luke's meets on the third Saturday of each month. We join the parish for 8:30 Mass in the morning, followed by a Calyx meeting. The next meeting at St. Luke's will be on Saturday, November the 15th. And the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and they will meet. They just met this past Saturday, so they won't meet again until the Saturday after Thanksgiving, November the 29th. Without any further ado, let's go to the phones, and we'll go to Frank. Hello, Frank. How you doing, pal?
Yes. Hold on a second, Ken. Alexa, mute. Sorry. You there?
No problem.
Okay, there you go. Ken, Father Doug.
Hello, Frank.
This truly is a welcome back, Cotter. Father Doug, how you doing? Father
Good,
Doug,
Frank.
Is your fifth book going to be out before Christmas?
No, it's going to take me a while.
Okay.
Yeah, the fifth book. Gosh, yeah, I'm working on the fourth.
I thought you had four. I thought you gave me four of them, I thought you said.
Well, I got the fifth burning in my heart, but the fourth I'm working on.
Yeah, only three published so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was four I got before a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And sent me.
Nope. Just
you're liking it by our dog back in the studio or back on the air.
Yeah. I got a bone to pick with you, Frank.
Go ahead.
You ready?
Yes.
I was here listening to the radio show last week. And you said to Ken, you called in, this is the best show ever. Like, we don't need Father McKay. No. and you said that it was the best show ever. And it made me feel great because I said, I always felt bad because I backed off of Ken because, it's hard for Ken to go solo sometimes. But when I heard you say that, I felt great. I felt really great that you had the best radio show ever. But I know also because Ken was doing the steps, too. So I understood that.
Yeah, right, last week. I forgot about that. Yeah, it was awesome show last week. I totally forgot about that. It was like, it was the best one. I've had you guys on. I was thinking about this today and yesterday. I guess 10 years. You guys got me sober. I know Kathleen McCarthy was until next month will be a year. And September 2nd, the suicidal tendencies left me. But you got your station, Kathleen McCarthy station, got me sober and left my suicidal tendencies. It's great radio. And last week, Ken's show was, I don't know what it was about. You told Ken that. It was unbelievable. I just felt like, I don't know what, I felt like I had so much energy. I just felt great because I'm sober. Oh, Father, you're going to love this.
And you're growing. You're growing spiritually, so it should get better and better.
Well, when I was drinking, not all the time, but lots of times before I walked to the bar, I would say, God, sometimes it's God, sometimes I say Jesus, sometimes I say Bishop St. John Newman, sometimes St. Michael. I would say, let this be my last time going here. And when I started drinking at home, in between, I would do the rosary while I was drinking. But I would only drink in between decades. So I would take a couple sips and do another decade.
How about that? Yeah.
That didn't last too long because I just ain't working out here. But I would try to do my rosary while I was drinking. But that was,
I'm sure a lot of people do that. Yeah.
What's that?
I'm sure people that are not alcoholic may be relaxing and having a drink and praying. You remind me of the, pray always, right, Frank? The disciple came up to the master and he said, can I smoke when I'm praying? Absolutely not. And then he said, well, can I pray when I'm smoking? Sure you can. So can I smoke when I'm praying? I get it mixed up. Can I pray when I'm smoking? Can I smoke when I'm praying? No, you can't. Well, can I pray? Can I smoke when I'm praying? You get my gist, Frank?
Yes, I don't understand.
Yeah, Ken.
The difference between can I smoke when I'm praying versus can I pray when I smoke?
Right.
Yeah.
I get it. I understand.
But pray always. Pray always. Yeah.
That was never a problem. The only problem I kind of slowed down, I felt like a hypocrite. I kept asking Bishop St. John Newman or God or sort of, please let me stop. Please let me stop. I said, I feel like a hypocrite. And I would pray, but I wouldn't ask him to help me stop drinking because I kept drinking. So I would pray, but I wouldn't ask him to help me stop because I felt like I wasn't applying my effort. So God's going to help you if you help a little bit. If you're not following the guidelines, then forget about it. I would still pray. I just wouldn't pray to help me stop because I felt like a hypocrite, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
I never give prayers. That was never my problem. Drinking was my problem. Oh, Father and Ken.
Yeah.
I heard this. I never had a problem drinking. Do you believe that?
Yeah. You had a problem when you stopped.
That's it. The old joke is someone told me a long, long time ago, Frank, you got a problem drinking. I said, no, I don't. Frank, are you kidding me? Blah, 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 blah. I said, no, there's no problem drinking. I got a problem stopping.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I heard that in AA a long, long time ago. It's a little goodie. But Father Doug, it's great hearing you again.
We miss you.
Yeah. And when's the next time Father Doug is going to be on 5 Wednesdays in a month?
April.
Oh, that's a long time away.
Yeah, we'll see if we can sneak him back in before then.
Yeah.
That's 6 months away.
A special appearance.
Father Doug, you have to come back for December, for Christmas month. You have to go back in February. It's my birthday month, okay? Also for
February
March, because that's
right.
my sober month. So you got 3 months. December for Christmas, February my birthday, and my anniversary date is March 21st. So come back for that.
Yeah. Right. When's your birthday? February what?
My birthday is February 8th. My sobriety birthday is March 21st.
Okay. February 8th.
2020. March 21st, 2020.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right when the COVID started, the beer guy said, Frank, you might want to stock up. What do you mean? Some kind of weird virus going around to close this down or being shut down the next week or something like that.
All good, brother.
Anyway.
Yep.
Great hearing again, Father Doug.
Good to hear from you,
thanks
pal.
Thanks for calling, Frank.
I did forget about that show last week.
Oh, that quick, huh?
Seriously.
Yeah.
That was a great show.
Yeah, thanks, pal. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was
that's it.
Good show.
It was awesome.
Yeah. I appreciate it, bud. Thanks for the call, as always.
Have a great one.
All right, you too.
God bless, Frank.
And all the phone lines are open if you want to give us a shout. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Toll free 888-343-2484. I shared with the group last night, I had an Otter God where actually it was two of them, two dime stories. Last week pulled into the Oregon Diner, and I usually pull in with the front of the car towards the diner. And for whatever reason, last week I backed into the spot. And as soon as I opened my door and looked down, there was a dime there on the pavement. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking after that, Father, you know, if I had pulled in the other way, you would have found it when you got in the car when we came out. So,
How about that?
But that was my dime. And then on Saturday, I went to the Miraculous Metal Shrine to hear Immaculée Ilibagiza tell her story and talk about the Seven Sorrows Rosary. And sitting in the pew and looked down, and there was a dime sitting right there. So two dimes in the last week.
I'm getting jealous, Ken.
Yeah, well, it's making up for all the months without the dimes. When I had to listen to the rest of you tell your dime stories.
But you know what it is? They really find you, the dime.
Yeah.
And that burning of the heart, right, Ken?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not so much what's going outside, but what happens inside. Makes me think about the Emmaus walk, where the disciples said when the Lord was talking to them, were not our hearts burning within us when he was explaining to us the scriptures?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that heartburn. It's like, God's really with me. You know, he's showing me. He's touching my heart.
Yeah.
He's revealing himself to me. And that's a revelation when that heartburn says, you get that, wow.
Yeah.
You know, that aha moment, whatever you want to call it, odd or God moment. Yep.
Yeah. And another one, and I forgot about this one last night, was one night last week I was talking to a friend of mine about the book Jesus Calling, and I told the Joe Kahl story where Joe was always handing out copies of Jesus Calling, and it was a guy that I brought to Calix a couple of years ago, Steve Mathis. He was actually on the radio show with me a couple of weeks prior to coming down to Grace Ferry. And he was the one telling me the story about how he was in the shrine one day, and he got talking to this guy, and they were having a good conversation, and the guy told him to wait in the pew, and he went outside, and he came back, and he handed me a copy of Jesus Calling, and before he could finish the story, I said, oh, you met Joe Kahl. So I was telling that story to a friend of mine one night last week, and she came with me on Saturday to the Immaculée retreat, and we walk in, and who's there but Steve Mathis. And I hadn't seen Steve in over a year, probably 2 years. And he didn't recognize me right away. And I like, Steve Mathis? And he's like, yeah. And then I said, here, I want you to meet a friend of mine. I was just telling her the other night the whole story about you and Joe Kahl and Jesus Calling. It was pretty funny.
Is that like Paul's brother?
No. Nope. Not even of the same race.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think I know what you mean. I think he was at your... I think I met him when Sue passed away. We went up there.
Yeah. No, he wouldn't. No, Steve Mathis wasn't there. He came down to Calix and Grace Ferry a couple times. Mm-hmm. It's probably, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. I hadn't seen him since. And, But
did you get to talk to Immaculée?
Not directly.
No.
I'd seen her a couple. Yeah, I'd seen her a couple of times prior, and was more there for the story.
She came to Malvern, and we kind of connected, walked around, talked a lot.
Yeah.
I remember Father Blunt, and she was with Father Blunt for the retreat and was doing our Calix meeting. And they called me out of our Calix meeting there at the Family Life Center to come up and have mass for Father Blunt's flight was late. And so she was there, and then somehow we connected, and after that, we talked a lot, walked around. But she really a holy woman, that story that she tells. Left to Tell, was that the name of the book, Left to Tell?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the phone lines are wide open. Nobody else on the line, Father.
You wonder if anybody's listening besides Frank, don't you, Ken?
I think a couple people were. I actually saw a couple emails pop up for folks getting their tickets for the Matt Talbot film on November the 19th up in Soderton. If you join late, if you go out to Eventbrite, their website, there's free tickets available for that the showing of the Matt Talbot film starring myself and Father McKay, engineer Patrick Kay. It's been well received everywhere it's been shown so far. So come on out. A bunch of us will be there that night.
Yeah.
November 19th. I just heard Maureen Howard. What time is it? November 19th at 7 o'clock p.m.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So take that holy boldness, as Kathleen would say, right? Pick up the phone.
Yeah, it's all.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the other thing that Immaculate talked about. You know, it was when Our Lady appeared to the seers in Cabejo, Rwanda, and they started praying the Seven Sorrows Rosary as a result of that. And then since then, I've been praying what they call the Irresistible Novena, where you pray the Seven Sorrows Rosary followed by the Litany of Our Lady of Seven Sorrows. And it's pretty powerful. See that, Father? You got somebody to call in. We're going to go to Diane. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Canon. Hello, Father.
How you doing?
Hey, Diane. I heard Father say, I don't know if anybody's listening. I thought, yes, we are. I am anyway.
Yeah.
And,
there you go.
I just wanted to say hello, and I really appreciate that you sent that reminder today, Ken, and just listening to Father. And I was thinking of the otter gods, and I don't even know where to start with that. I know that I was just came home from being up in Connecticut at St. Edna's Island. It was probably the most spiritual weekend I ever had in my entire life. And all through that journey getting there, because we took the train, the people that were presented before us were just amazing. People offering to help us and give us a ride and giving us a ride and us accepting the ride. And when we got to the island and we're looking at the water, there's a rainbow, you know? And this is an otter god. This is God. I mean, from the time we got onto the train to the time we got home, somebody was always there making sure we were okay, because it was just three ladies and a suitcase, you know? And we look like tourists, you know? So... Anyway, I just wanted to say, yes, Father, we are listening. I am listening.
Awesome.
Thanks, Diane.
Thanks, Diane. Good to hear your voice, hon. I hope to see you on the 19th.
I hope to
see
you.
Hey, Diane. Diane, the symbol of the rainbow is the presence of God. That's the symbol of the rainbow, the presence of God. So that's what you were experiencing, God himself.
I'm going to tell you. I have one more to tell you. I know you guys thought I'd get going. But, you know, I just lost my best friend in March. Actually, we lost a lot of people. We lost Harry. I lost my best friend, Jen. I lost my neighbor. I lost too many people too soon, you know. But I have a friend that has all my best friend's stuff. She was wearing a necklace, and she bent over in her kitchen and got stuck to the table. And the table hit her, Father. It hit her in her chest. And the table was my friend's table as well, right? And she went and she broke a rib, but with that breaking that rib, she had cancer flying all through her body. And if that didn't happen, this is our God, this is God, and I tell her that every day. This is God. God, Jen had the power to send you a message, like, get your butt to the hospital, you know? And so I ask that you pray for my friend Bernadette. And, you know, because she's in the journey of a lot of cancer through her body, but they believe it's treatable. Thank you.
Bernadette, we're talking about Bernadette.
Yes.
Thanks, Diane. God
Thanks,
bless
Diane.
You.
Always good to hear from you, hon.
Thank you. Can't wait to see you guys.
All right. See you on the 19th.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right, now the phone lines are free. Nobody else on the line, Father.
Okay, Ken. Well, back to the rosary. I just wanted to add, like, because there's so much with the rosary, and I was thinking you know about the Rosary of Thanksgiving. Sometimes I'll give that as a penance in the confessional when somebody's giving me a list of sins, you know, and you're really kind of focusing on your mishaps and you're forgetting about all the blessings in your life. I would say, okay, now for your penance, take your rosary beads, and on each bead, I want you to think of something that you're grateful for. And each bead you can say, you know, for my parents, for my brothers and sisters, for my teachers, for, you know, my Catholic faith, for the sacraments, for the birds that fly in the air, for the sunrise, for the sunset. But the rosary of gratitude, just to remind us that we're so far blessed more than our mishaps. So that's one thing I would do with the rosary. And the other thing that I do with the rosary, Ken, is invoking the saints. Sometimes I might have to go through the calendar of saints because we know them well. And each saint on each bead, I would just ask each saint to pray for us, to pray for our mission here, our house ministries, our mission work, you know, in Malvern, and just get all the saints involved in there. But there's so much you can do the rosary, but holding that rosary too. And even Saint Bernadette said that when you go to sleep, be praying the rosary. You know, pray yourself to sleep with the rosary. And sometimes I'll wake up, having to use the restroom, and then the old slick starts in between the mind again. Oh, you got this to do, that to do, and right away I take my rosary and I continue praying the Hail Marys, just the Hail Marys, not counting sheep, the Hail Marys, and I center myself again, and I'm right back into that contemplative mood, right back in the arms of the Father. So that really helps me too, you know. But I always put the rosary around my arm. And I hold it, and that's how I fall asleep, you know, and just to keep praying that most holy rosary can.
Amen.
So much we can do with it.
Yeah. One of the ones you taught me back a few years back was the surrender rosary. I know you mentioned about tying it to the luminous mysteries, but the one I'll use from time to time is on each bead, Jesus, I trust in you, and then turn over my kids, my jobs, stuff that's going on in my life. It's kind of like the surrender novena, but naming, you know, 60 things that that you're willing to turn over to God. And
nice.
And I always remember, I've told other people about the gratitude rosary. I was thinking last night when Dottie was talking about getting up every morning and do her gratitude list with God when she's drinking her coffee, you know, you mentioned the gratitude rosary, and, you know, for so many people, it's one of the lessons we get early on in recovery, that we have to have a grateful heart, and that there's always something that we can be grateful for. And it can be intimidating trying to think, you know, trying to come up with 60 things that you're grateful for. But once you get in the habit of doing it, it can get pretty easy, because, you know, so many of the basic things in life that we take for granted, we can certainly be grateful for. And so I don't have any problem these days going around and finding, 50, 60 things that I can be grateful for in my life.
Yeah. But it's just, I see when Mary comes for their apparitions, especially like Fatima and Lourdes, and she's holding the rosary and really telling us, you know, beseeching us to just to pray the rosary and to hold it. You know, there's just so much there in that most holy rosary. I was also thinking, Ken, you know, the whole center is the Paschal mystery. It's the Eucharist. It's the way to God. And St. Bernadette, you know, in her last phase of life when she was sick, she had like a lot of pictures around her, you know. But she didn't go along with a whole lot of devotions. Of course, the Mass and Communion. And the rosary was her devotion. But she had all these pictures around her, and she asked for all the pictures of saints and whatnot just to be removed, and just the crucifix. She just wanted the crucifix. And she would hold the crucifix on her deathbed. And she said, and they said, why did you remove all the pictures, you know, the holy pictures? She said, this is all I need. This is all I need. All of our devotions lead us to Calvary, to Christ, you know. And that's, you know, the rest are means. Now we're coming to the end, and this is what the saints teach us. You know, they say 5 minutes of meditating on his passion is worth more than all of our other devotions, because all of our other devotions are leading us to Calvary, where we stand next to the Blessed Mother at Calvary, at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, because that's what's going on. The Lord is seeing us there. But then the saints, you know, they all go there, but then they don't stop there. You look at the Mass. Yes, it is Calvary. It's a sacrifice. It's the sacrifice of Christ. But more, it's the banquet of heaven. And that's where we cross over from Christ crucified to the risen Christ and to experience him there. And that's what the Holy Rosary leads us into. It's, you know, the very center, the institution of the Eucharist, the Paschal mystery, the life, the death, and the resurrection, and the ascension. It's our pathway. It's our model going home to God. That can only be contemplated, and that's what John Paul II talks about in this letter here, and all the saints, you know. Contemplation is something that God does in our hearts. Mm-hmm. Meditation is something that we're doing in our minds. But then comes the heart, the longest journey from the head to the heart in the dwelling place of God. And that's what the Most Holy Rosary is, a powerful means to bring me into contemplation, into the very heart of our God.
Yeah. Just want to throw out there for our listeners, if you check out my Substack writing at notsaintsyet.substack.com and go back to November, December 2023, I wrote a series of five articles on my five prevenient mysteries, because I couldn't believe the Immaculate Conception hasn't been a mystery of the Rosary. So it's the Immaculate Conception, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mary as a Temple Virgin, and Mary's betrothal to Joseph, to round out the five. So you get it. And I think 25 is a better number than 20 anyway, Father. We got just 2 minutes left.
Yeah. I was just thinking what you said when we come to the, you know, the last two decades there, the glorious mystery. We're looking at the Assumption, you know, Mary, the pathway to God, where she's going, we're going, and we're following in her pathway there. But when you look at the Assumption, what you're really looking at, like you say, the Immaculate Conception, you're seeing everything. Mm. You know, it's all there. It's all there in these mysteries. And then, of course, the last one, there is the coronation of Mary, crowned as queen, heaven and earth, you know. Just try to imagine that Mary's the queen of heaven and earth. She's our queen mother. She's there interceding for us. She takes us there. You know, she's the pathway, the model. Where she has gone, we're going, you know, that's humanity. And how she was really the Immaculate Conception, as you mentioned, Ken, that she didn't have that, conceived without original sin, she'd be just like us, you know, but God gave her that prevenian grace, but even with that comes from the cross. And that we see who we really are in our humanity, what we're created to be, you know, not that sinful state, but that graceful state. You know, someone will say, well, you know, I'm only human. Well, to be human is really, look at the Blessed Mother. Look at Jesus. That's being human. You know, it's like a license to sin. I'm only human so I can fall. No, I'm being inhuman when I sin. And when I'm in grace, I'm being truly human, like the Blessed Mother, like the image and likeness of God, what he creates us in, Ken.
Very good. We get your blessing, Father.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
God, our Father, we thank you for all the blessings, all the gifts, especially for the gift of eternal life with your Son, your Holy Spirit, and all of our loved ones in the kingdom. And we thank you for your most holy rosary, the companion of the gospel, but that is all there for us. Keep us close to your heart, O God, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, chaste heart of St. Joseph, and all the angels and saints. And may Almighty God bless you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Good to be back with you, brother. And
you too, Ken.
We'll have to make it happen again before April. But see you in the morning for Mass. Our listeners, we've got another hour to go. And Peter DePalma will be joining us, and we'll be talking about the gift of the divine will. Don't go away. We'll be right back.